Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us into your presence tonight so that we can meet with you. And we pray that as you speak to us now, meeting us through your word, would your Spirit, who first spoke it, speak it afresh into our hearts and minds, that we might have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
The question tonight is, what does following Jesus do for your thinking? And many in Leipzig, just as in Corinth in Paul's day, would have a quick answer to that question. Following Jesus, becoming a Christian, that is intellectual suicide. That is about the stupidest thing you could do. That is how you get religious brainwashing. Follow Jesus and you will be narrow-minded and bigoted and backward. Paul's been showing us, however, so far in our series in 1 Corinthians, that actually it is the other way around. And that it is our world's thinking that is frustrated and foolish. And that it is Christians' thinking that is being renewed. Following Jesus means having your mind renewed by God. And this is because true wisdom isn't man-made. It doesn't belong to any one country or any one time or any one philosopher or any one school of thought. It's not something that you and I can just work out and then pat ourselves on the back for. True wisdom is understanding what God did at the cross. And the way it works is that the more you understand what God did at the cross through the death of Jesus, the more that becomes the mindset and the way you see life, the more you understand everything else. And this bit of 1 Corinthians that we just heard read shows us that. That the message here is very simple. Listen to Jesus' apostles and you will think like Jesus. Listen to them. Listen to the apostles and you will think like Jesus. Here's how this works. Verses 6 to 9, the apostles teach secret wisdom. And if this bit of the letter was a YouTube video, and you know that still picture that you then click on, what you'd see here was the apostle Paul's face and in big letters next to it, secret, hidden wisdom. Capital letters, probably red colouring. The Corinthians would love that. They were all into secrets and insider knowledge because they love being a big deal. And nothing says that you're a big deal like knowing stuff that other people don't know. You can just imagine the conversation. Ah, you've not heard about the secret hidden knowledge. That's a shame. I've heard about the secret knowledge. Oh, poor little you. Oh, well. Look at verse 6. Among the mature, we, that is Paul and the apostles, we do impart, we teach wisdom. Same thing there again, verse 7. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom. And you can almost imagine the sleepy Corinthians waking up. Wisdom, secret hidden wisdom. It's like Winnie the Pooh discovering a jar of honey that he'd forgotten about. What is this secret wisdom? Little mini drum roll. And look back at chapter 1, verses 23 to 24. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God, the wisdom of God. God's secret hidden wisdom, the key to understanding absolutely everything, is Jesus dying on the cross. And I guess for some of us, that almost feels like a letdown. Really? You mean the thing I learnt in Sunday school? That thing, that's the secret to the universe? Yes. At the cross, what did happen there? Well, Jesus saved us from our sin. He began to bring an end to this age of sin and death. And he started the age of resurrection life. At the cross, Jesus showed us what God is like, and he showed us what we're like. And therefore, the cross is God's secret wisdom that the apostles teach. Now, why is it a secret? And there's two little reasons for this. Firstly, that wisdom is not of this age. Look at verse 6. The apostles' wisdom is not of this age or of the rulers of this age. This age, the phrase they're using there, that is time from when Adam first sinned in the Garden of Eden. All the way from then until when Jesus returns. That is this age. And Paul is saying God is going to throw this age from that time until Jesus returns. He's going to throw it all in the bin because this is the age of sin and decreation and death. Our age is on the wrong side of eternity. Because we're so ignorant. And that, I guess, makes this age just a bit of a scandal. Think about it. We have so much learning. We know so many things. We know more today than we've ever known before, I guess, in human history. We have PhDs and research labs and think tanks and AI helping us. And just up the road, there's a national library with tens of millions of books. I mean, why have I not yet visited? I don't believe it. We have all this knowledge, all this learning. And yet we don't understand the cross. We don't understand who God made us to be, what rejecting him has done to us, and how God has worked to save us. We knew so much, and yet actually so very little. Why doesn't our age get the cross? Why is this wisdom not of this age? Well, because this is wisdom from before this age. Look at verse 7. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. That word decreed, it literally is predestined. God has designed history so that the Son of God would come to earth as a man and die in our place to save us. God thought the cross up. He predestined it before time began, before the ages began. The cross of Christ is God's very oldest and very best idea. And why did God do that? Why did God predestine the cross for his son to die? Look again at the end of verse 7. For our glory. The great tragedy of our age is that, as one intellectual artist, a guy called Andy Warhol, put it, all of us want to have our 15 minutes of fame. Anything just to have a bit of time in the limelight. And yet God's very oldest and very best idea is for those who believe in Jesus not just to have 15 minutes of fame, but to have an eternity of glory. God has always, always wanted you and me to be like Jesus, to bear the image of the Lord Jesus, the image of the man of heaven, to share in Jesus' life and his resurrection and his future. This age is a dead age on the wrong side of eternity. And that's the age we're trapped in. Guilty, foolish, shadows of who we could be, should be. And yet through the cross, God has worked to forgive and to restore all who believe in Jesus. So that at the cross, what happened is that Jesus swapped futures with us, as it were. Jesus took the future and the judgment we deserve so that we can have the future and the glory he deserves. So that we can share in his age of life. The apostles say, we preach Christ crucified. That is wisdom not of this age. Our age didn't come up with that. And secondly, our age doesn't understand it. It's not understood by this age. Think with me for a minute of the people who were in power when Jesus was crucified. Herod, Pilate, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. What did they really want to do with Jesus? Why didn't they just have Jesus stabbed in the dark in an alleyway late at night and quietly buried, quietly removed? Well, they didn't want Jesus quietly removed. They wanted Jesus publicly humiliated, tortured, murdered. They wanted to send a message that was very, very clear. You mess with us, and that is what we'll do to you. And so they organized false witnesses and a fake trial and a state-sponsored execution so that the message went out loud and clear, we're in charge. And if you think differently, look at that guy. And yet Paul says they had no clue. Herod, Pilate, Pharisees, Sadducees, they had no clue that what they were doing was actually what God had predestined, that God had planned the cross for our glory. If they'd understood that, would they have killed Jesus? Never. That's verse 8. What the apostles teach, God's secret hidden wisdom, the cross, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's likely that the rulers of this age is not just a phrase that speaks of Herod and Pilate and so on, but also of demonic, satanic forces of the devil. And as the devil orchestrated Jesus' death, he was signing his own death warrant, dethroning himself, dooming himself to hell. Paul says the cross is not of this age. It's not thought up by us and it's not understood by this age. It's supernatural wisdom. It's older than time itself. So that as Paul and the apostles teach this secret wisdom, they are actually the fulfillment of what God always said he'd do. That's verse 9. In verse 9, Paul's quoting from Isaiah, 800 years or so before Jesus, quoting from Isaiah 64, verse 9. What no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if you read that, one question should really come to mind. If no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart imagined, if this wisdom is so secret that it's not of our age and our age doesn't understand it, how is Paul teaching it? And that's the question you've got to ask. Well, that takes us to verses 10 to 13. The apostles teach revealed wisdom. The apostles teach revealed wisdom. Put your hand up if you know what I'm thinking about right now. Like, none of you knew that I was thinking about elephants dancing on marzipan. None of you. Some of you guys know me really well. You didn't know that either. Some of you are in my home group. You didn't know that. John, you didn't know that. I asked my wife earlier whether she knew what I was thinking about, and Sinead didn't know either. In this specific example, sometimes she does. Who knows my thoughts? I do. And it's quite easy for me. There aren't that many of them to know about. But actually, it's not just I who know my thoughts. It's really, biblically speaking, it's my spirit who knows my thoughts. Look at verse 11. who knows a person's thoughts, except the spirit of that person which is in him? In a way that no one else does, your spirit knows you. Your spirit knows your thoughts inside you. Well, verse 11, so with us as with God, so also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Because verse 10, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. God knows everything. God has never learnt anything. He knows everything through one eternal and unchanging act of knowledge. So that God's wisdom is like an infinite sea that has neither bottom nor shore. And God's Spirit knows absolutely everything in that infinite sea without bottom or shore. Nothing is cut off from God's Spirit. Nothing is hidden to God's Spirit. Nothing in God is confusing to God's Spirit. The Spirit understands all of God's thoughts. And Jesus has poured to that Spirit who knows God fully on his apostles. Look with me at verse 10. These things, the no eye seen, no ear heard, no heart imagined, not of this age, not understood by this age things, those things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Paul and the apostles knew God's secret wisdom because God had revealed it to them. He told them. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, that's the spirit of this age that's going to pass away, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might understand the things freely given us by God. God gave his Spirit to his apostles to reveal his thoughts, his secret wisdom, so that they would understand it. God's Spirit spoke God's thoughts perfectly to the apostles and ensured that the apostles perfectly understood what they were being told. We have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. That's the work of the Spirit. But Paul then goes on to say the Spirit didn't stop there. Paul and the apostles are pipes, not buckets. What's the difference between a pipe and a bucket? Well, a bucket is what you collect stuff in and it's not going anywhere. A pipe is something that takes stuff somewhere. The apostles didn't keep God's wisdom to themselves, buckets. They passed God's wisdom on to others through their teaching, pipes. So that, amazingly, God's secret hidden wisdom is now public knowledge for the whole world to know, through the preaching of the apostles. What the Spirit revealed to the apostles, he taught through the apostles. That's there in verse 13. Look with me at verse 13. We impart, that's we teach, the things God freely gave us, the secret wisdom of God. We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. God's Spirit was watching over what the apostles taught all the way through to the words they spoke. Not just so that in their official teaching they got the main stuff right, but were a bit wobbly on some other things, but so that they got it all right, even down to the words. Even down to the words they spoke and wrote. The Corinthian church loved the Spirit stuff. We'll see that really clearly when we get to chapters 12 to 14. They loved the Spirit's stuff. They loved the impressive gifts and experiences. They loved having a reputation for being a Spirit-filled church. But they weren't actually that interested in knowing the Spirit or listening to him. They just wanted his stuff. And Paul's telling the Corinthians here, listen, if you really want to be spiritual, if you really want to know and honour the Spirit, if you really want to be wise, listen to our teaching, listen to the apostles' teaching. That's where the Spirit meets us. This age has always mocked Paul. Corinth did it. Leipzig does it. People have always done it, mocked Paul and the apostles. Some have called Paul the person who ruined Christianity. I mean, Jesus started it so well and it just went downhill. Other people say, well, I follow Jesus, but I just don't like Paul. Jesus is loving, but Paul's grumpy. And some Bibles will even print the words of Jesus in the Gospels in red letters. They're the better words. They're the A-grade words. The rest, it's kind of B+. But they're the A-grade. And yet, what are we seeing here? The Spirit revealed God's wisdom to the apostles. The Spirit made sure they understood his wisdom. The Spirit taught God's wisdom through the apostles' words. So that the words we have in 1 Corinthians are just as much the words of the Spirit and the words of God as the words Jesus said in the Gospels. Just as much God's words. And that's amazing. That meant that a few moments ago, when Daniel read verses 6 to 16 to us, the Holy Spirit was telling us what God has always been thinking about. He was telling us God's thoughts. The apostles teach revealed wisdom so that believers receive Christ's wisdom. And that's where this chapter ends. Verses 13 to 16, believers receive Christ's wisdom. Our age, our world loves to divide people up into groups. The haves, the have-nots, the young and the old, the rich, the poor, the single, the married, people who find my jokes funny, people with no sense of humour. That was a joke, don't worry. And as we divide the people around us up into groups, we automatically look for the best group we can find and think about how can I belong to them. That's how the playground works. Who are the cool kids? How can I be part of them? That's how the office so often works. That's how Leipzig and Corinth work. But actually, Paul's going to say now, there are only two groups of people in the world. People who belong to this dead age and people who belong to the age to come. People who are lost and perishing and people who are saved and headed for glory. People who have the Spirit of God and people who do not have the Spirit of God. People who are believing in Jesus, people who don't believe in Jesus. And you can see that divide there in verse 14. Have a look with me. The natural person, that is the person of this age without Jesus, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, stupid to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They are understood with the help of the Spirit. Our age can't understand God's secret wisdom, and therefore the people of our age can't understand the cross. And so the question is, how do you leave this dead age and how do you join the age to come? How do you leave this group and join that group? How did that happen for the Corinthians? And the answer is you believe in the Lord Jesus. You turn from your sin and trust him to be your saviour. But how does anyone do that? Well, God has to renew our understanding by his Spirit. That's how verse 13 ends. The apostles interpreted spiritual truths to those who were spiritual. So that as the apostles taught the Spirit's wisdom, as they told people about the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross for our sin, the Spirit opened ears and eyes and hearts, and he entered into people's lives, and he renewed minds, so that all of a sudden in Corinth, people started believing in Jesus. They were taken out of this age and into the age to come. Paul's already kind of described this at the end of chapter 1. You might just want to flick back and look at chapter 1, verse 30. It is because of him, that is, it's because of God, that we are in Christ Jesus. And now we find out how exactly it is because of God. It's because of the work of the Spirit. The Spirit entered us, renewed our minds, enabled us to believe, joined us to Jesus. So that by the Spirit's help, we now understand, we grasp, we trust God's secret wisdom, the cross of Christ. And when God's Spirit did that work in renewing our minds, what happened? Well, outwardly, you just looked the same as you did before. And nothing really changed. But spiritually, what happened? Well, you left this group and you joined that group. You were taken out of this age and put into the age to come. You were outside of Christ and now you're in Christ. You were a natural person and now you're a spiritual person. The consequence of all of that is there in verse 15. You and I are now able to weigh up all things and know whether they're right or wrong, true or false. We can do that because the Spirit is in us, because he's renewing our minds and giving us faith in his revealed wisdom. Paul says, once you have become a spiritual person, once you grasp the cross of Christ, you can judge all things. Judge doesn't mean verurteilen, it doesn't mean condemn. It just means weigh up, evaluate, work out, is this right or wrong, true or false? In a way that no natural person can, Christians can understand everything. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we're all Einstein. That's not what Paul's saying either. But there is a way in which Christians are able to weigh up what this age says and know whether it is right or wrong. Because we are able to judge it against, weigh it up against, measure it against the wisdom of the apostles that God has revealed. And Paul says that the natural person can't do that. And what Paul does to really drive that home is he quotes from in verse 16 from Isaiah again, who has understand the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him. In other words, who put your hand up if you're big enough and clever enough to tell God how to think and how to save? Now, hands down for all of us. Just after Isaiah asks that question, he gives two little pictures. Imagine one drop of water in a bucket. You know, one drop in a bucket. Isaiah says, that is the nations, those are the countries of the world, the billions of people of this age before God. Or imagine, second picture, a set of scales in a kitchen. Scales, you know, the things you use to weigh up how much flour goes in a cake and so on. You put the scales out in the kitchen, maybe you're making a cake to bring to church, brilliant, love that. And you leave the scales out on the kitchen surface. You don't clean them up for a week. For some of you, that's a lot of imagination. And at the end of that week, there's just a very little bit of Leipzig dust on them before you put them back in the cupboard. And that little bit of dust, Isaiah says, that's the nations, that's the world before God. Can the dust understand the scales? Can the drop understand the bucket? Can this age understand God? No. Unless God reveals himself by his Spirit. And that's exactly what he's done. He's made his secret wisdom public knowledge. He revealed it to the apostles. He made sure they understood. He then revealed it through the apostles and their teaching that we now have in the New Testament. And if you're believing Jesus, God has revealed it to you. Therefore, verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Through believing what the apostles say, God is teaching you me to think like Jesus, so that we are not deceived by this age, led astray by this age, so that we are able to judge what this age says and work out, is that true or is that false? Does this agree with what the apostles teach? Does this match up with the cross of Christ? If it does, it must be true, but if it doesn't, it can't be true. The Corinthian Christians were so in awe of Corinth, it seemed, that they desperately wanted to be clever in Corinth's eyes. For have people in Corinth look at them and say, wow, you really are wise. And they thought the way for that to happen was to think more like Corinth. Paul says, don't let Corinth deceive you. Don't let Leipzig deceive you. Don't let this age deceive you. This age, our world just looks at us and think we're backward and stupid. Silly little Christians. Our age claims we're on the wrong side of history. The apostles say our age is on the wrong side of eternity. Our age says the cross is pathetic and weak. The apostles say that cross, that ended or began the end of this age, and it started the age of life and glory. our age claims that what we do defines us. And the apostles say that actually, no, it's God's Spirit who defines us. Our age says the apostles' word is stupid and irrelevant. They say they teach God's secret wisdom that is revealed for our glory. Who is shaping your mind? Whom are you letting shape your thinking? Because they can't both be right, can they? Paul says, listen to Jesus' apostles, and you will have the mind of Christ. You will think like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the grace that you have given us, that you would reveal your very oldest idea and plan to your apostles, so that they would preach it and teach it and write it down, so that thousands of years later, we, along with people all over this world, might be able to read it and have your Spirit renew our minds so that we can know you and think like Jesus. Father, we thank you for this privilege, and we pray that in your kindness you would keep shaping our thinking by what you say, by what your apostles have said, and that our thinking would not be conformed to this age. Father, help us, we pray, to think like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.